Hey, Chef. Real quick before we jump in, what you're about to hear is a behind-the-scenes peek into the Successful Chef Leadership Bootcamp. This isn't just some polished keynote. It's a real-time training from week four of the program. Your energy is your leadership. Now, why share this? Because I want you to hear the kind of stuff we're actually working on inside the bootcamp. Not just spreadsheets and SOPs, but the real work. The stuff that changes how chefs lead and how they show up and how their teams respond. This module is all about recognizing the vibe you're putting out, because your crew picks up on everything. And leadership, it starts long before you say a word. If the room feels tense, if service feels like everybody's walking on eggshells, it's probably not about the food. It's about the energy. So take a listen, and if something clicks, if you find something that you like, you're nodding along, then maybe this program's for you too. All right, let's get into it. Here's your energy is your leadership. Stay tall and frosty. Welcome back, Chef. This is Module 4, Be the Calm. Your energy is your leadership. You've earned your way here, not just by watching the lessons, but by doing the work. You started noticing your emotional baseline. You begin to track your triggers. That's not small. That's a shift most chefs never make. Now, you might be thinking, energy? Didn't we just do that? Well, in Module 3, we talked about emotional regulation and stress response. We explored about how stress shows up in your body, your breath, your focus, and what to do when you're in it. That was about you, your awareness, your internal temperature. This week, it's about taking that internal awareness and applying it in real time, because presence doesn't pause when the pressure ramps up. That's when it matters the most. It's about what happens to everyone else when you walk in the room. This week, it's about energetic responsibility. Whether you're aware of it or not, your team is scanning your vibe before you say a single word. If you're frantic, they tighten. If you're grounded, they loosen. In this module, we're going to be talking about the signal you send to your crew and what to do about it. Now, I'll be the first to admit that it's a little bit weird that even though this conversation is about how your energy affects other people, it still comes back to you, who you're being in the moment. The reality is that the success of your crew is directly proportional to the amount of work you do or don't do to create and maintain a steady state, becoming less oak and much more bamboo. But then again, this is what you asked for. It's why you're here. You are, after all, the leader. This has nothing to do with whether you have a big personality or not. Your professional success will always come down to whether you step into leadership and assume the position fully, or step off to let someone else anchor the team. Your vibrational frequency influences the crew before your voice ever does. If you want to lead like someone your team can not only follow, but also trust, you'll have to learn how to regulate yourself first. Here's what I'm talking about. It's a cool autumn Friday night. It's the peak period of the shift and everything's unraveling. Orders are piling up. Tickets bleeding down the rail. The fryer's backed up, the grill's off temp, and I can feel my chest tightening like someone's cinching a strap around my ribs. I'm barking short, sharp commands, trying to keep the line from spinning out. But the truth is, I'm the one that's spinning. The voices around me blur, the heat, the noise, the expectation, it all crashes in at once. I step off the line without a word. I duck into the walk-in, close the door, and stand there. My breath is caught halfway up my throat. Cold air hits my face like a slap. My hands are shaking. I press my palms against the shelf to steady myself, but it's no use. I'm coming apart from the inside out. Listening to the quiet hum of the compressor, something clicks. Not a breakdown, almost a breakthrough. I realize I've been showing up every day tighter than a funeral drum, thinking control is strength. The apex predator in the punch bowl. But what I'm actually radiating is panic, anxiety, pressure. And whether I say a word or not, my team feels every ounce of it, and they're reflecting it right back at me, snapping at each other like junkyard dogs. Not their fault. I'm the one that brought the heat. Wait, what? Really? It's me. Shit. I'm the fucking problem. Because my energy set the tone. I can't lead from chaos. I can't create calm for my team if I can't create it for myself. I start to breathe slow, deep, and deliberate. My hands stop trembling. My body softens. I walk back out with the same tools, the same kitchen, but a completely different presence. That was the day I stopped managing panic and started practicing leadership. Chef, your presence is your leadership. That's why we're circling back to the subject of energy in this module, not because we're repeating ourselves, but because this is the part that changes everything. when it comes to how people trust you, follow you, perform under pressure. It's one thing to manage your stress. It's another to be the calm in the chaos. That's what we're leaning into. All right, let's name the elephant in the walk-in. Most of us were never taught how to lead our energy. We were only taught how to move faster, push harder, and power through. And if you don't know what's happening in your nervous system, you're not in command of your energy. You're just reacting to it. That's where this word comes in, somatic. Soma, meaning body. Somatic awareness simply means noticing what's happening in your body without judgment, without trying to fix it. Because if you can't feel what's happening in you, you can't lead what's happening around you. And when you learn how to lead from presence instead of pressure, everything changes. How your team hears you, how you recover, how you regulate when things heat up. This isn't some thing. It's science. It's biology. It's breath, awareness, and self-command. The most grounded chefs in the world, like Eric Repair from Le Bernard Inn in New York City, comes to mind. They aren't just calm. They're regulated. That same chef, at one point in his career, had to consider why he kept losing cooks. And given the fact that he was the only common denominator in all those losses, he had to come to the conclusion that if he was going to remain successful, but probably more importantly, fulfilled, then he was going to have to change his ways. He became a practicing Buddhist. He became chill, accepting, stoic. He became steady state. Today, you're going to learn how to do the same. Let's start small. Let's start with a quick three-step somatic check-in. Deep breath in. Come on, let's go. You know how to do this, right? Box breath. Breathe in for a count of four. One, two, three, four. Hold for a count of four. Exhale to a count of four. And hold for a count of four. One, two, three. Now release. In that space between your next breath, ask yourself, where do I usually hold stress? What does it feel like? Ask your body, what's one thing I can use to reset? Listen, and then do that thing. Dr. David Hawkins in his book, Power versus Force, writes, the body doesn't lie, it doesn't perform, it doesn't mask, it tells the truth about how you're actually showing up. So how do you define energy? Well, it isn't just about how loud you are or how hard you hustle. It's the frequency you carry, the tone, the rhythm, the emotional field you broadcast, whether you intend to or not. You're scattered, grounded, dismissive, calm. Your team knows, even if you don't say a thing. Leadership starts with the signal you're sending. Let's bring that signal into alignment. Stress isn't the enemy, but it is running the show. I'm not here to make you avoid stress. I'm here to help you stop being ruled by it, because prolonged stress rewires your brain. It makes you reactive, defensive, impatient. Fight or flight shortens your tone, kills your creativity, erodes trust. You think you're focused. Your crew thinks you're pissed. You think you're being clear. They feel like they're being judged. Stress doesn't just live in your body. It spills over, and your team can feel it. Check it. You don't need to eliminate stress. You just need to interrupt the cycle. I call it a pattern interrupt. I will do almost anything to short-circuit a well-practiced way of being. That's a phrase I use that describes habits, emotional triggers, and crystallized neural pathways in the brain. I'll breathe, go for a walk, close my eyes for 2 minutes, because going inward, that's where the power truly resides. Steady state equals leadership power. Remember, when we talked in module one about presence over position, yeah, just like that. This is where Dr. Joe Dispenza and HeartMath come in handy, because your thoughts and emotions produce a literal electromagnetic field around your body. Your vibe isn't a metaphor, it's measurable. And when you're in a coherent state, your heart and brain in sync, you create a ripple effect of calm all around you. And that your team syncs with that frequency. I worked with a grill cook in a high volume fish house who, after a station would stock, would reach into his shirt pocket and pull out a little troll doll and put it in the window. Then he'd give me the long side eye as if he was preparing for that inevitable moment during the shift when the triple rail is full and tickets are spilling out onto the floor. And it's at that moment when I'm rocking 7 windows, 6 food runners at my back, and the only printer on the line is mine. Once he does catch my eye, Doc says to me, looking back at me through the pass, tonight, don't fuck with my team, man. See, when you're regulated, Your line moves sweeter. Everybody's in rhythm, swaying to the beat, right in the pocket, 5x5. Nights like that when everybody's in sync is the reason why I got into this business in the first place. Call it the dream of the dance, the community, the fraternity, the bond that can only be forged under fire. Chasing the perfect sell, the perfect night, riding the razor's edge until somehow the train stays on the track, no matter what. And somewhere in the middle, when time slows down and focus narrows, the organic machine that is we together hammers it home. And when the last plate is out, the clouds part and there's an angelic choir swinging from the chandelier to a heavy metal symphony. And judging by the sweat-stained faces peering back at me through the pass, all wide-eyed and ready for more, I'm not the only one who hears the music or feels so connected. You got goosebumps yet? You're probably ready to strap on your apron right now and hitch up your clogs because you know what that feels like too. On a night like that, when everything aligns, it all unlocks so perfectly. Questions get asked earlier. Support shows up without even being called for. The timing is just fucking sublime. And in a moment like that, I feel so proud and privileged to be part of that crew. Why? Because coherence builds trust. That's what we're building towards. Rock solid, sustainable, regenerative trust. Let me put it another way. My daughter is failing middle school, and I can see the fear in her eyes when she hands me her report card. She expects the lecture, the punishment, the disappointment. And I can feel it rise in me, that old chef energy, the need to correct, to fix, to control. But something in her face, some mix of shame and resignation stops me cold. I exhale, I breathe just once all the way in and all the way out. I sit beside her instead of across from her. I ask questions instead of offering answers. And for the first time, I hear what she's been trying to tell me. She doesn't need fixing. What she needs is someone to sit with her in the mess until she's strong enough to stand on her own. I pull out a marker and write three words on a sheet of paper. Be, do, have. We talk about how we've been taught to have to do more, to get more, so we can finally be something. But that's backwards. You become who you want to be first, calm, grounded, curious, and the rest follows. She nods slowly, like she's heard something that she didn't know she needed. And I realize I'm not just helping her regulate. I'm actually finally modeling it for her so she can see what it looks like. That night, I think about my kitchen and the cooks who come in with shame in their eyes, hoping not to be corrected, but to be seen. If I can't breathe with my kid, how can I expect to lead with clarity under pressure? That's the day I stopped using urgency as a leadership style. I started using breath. Chef, let me remind you, your crew is always reading you. Always. They're looking for an emotional and an energetic clue to how this shift will unfold. Is it going to be smooth and groovy, or are we going to go off the rails sideways? They want to be prepared for the mayhem or the peace. So they clock you from a mile away. And you know that? You might even come to expect and enjoy that moment when you walk in the door so that you can set the space and ground everybody with your presence. But before you do, you better pause in the back hallway or the parking lot for a few moments and smooth out your apron, get steady, do some box breathing, have some reverence for the moment and opportunity to be in service to your people. Check your uniform. Are you crisp? Then and only then do you make your grand entrance. Captain on board, smooth sailing ahead. Because leadership isn't about control. It's about coherence. And coherence is contagious. As we talked about in Module 3, some easy ways to maintain a calm and steady presence is regular exercise, a hobby, meditation, or some type of practice you do to ground yourself. But it's got to be a daily practice so you can depend on it and others can depend on you. Try a bunch of different techniques, somatic release, yoga, walking. What matters is you respect yourself and the people in your life enough to care whether you show up scattered or not. One thing that helps me is maintaining a self-care routine throughout the month. Sometimes I meet an old friend for coffee, go to the sauna, take a saltwater float. Sometimes I just step in the grass with bare feet, feeling connected to the earth in the process. Figure out what grooves you. But the only rule about self-care and self-nurture is this. Whatever you choose to do, it should only involve and benefit you. That's not to say that others won't enjoy the byproduct of whichever self-care action you take. I mean, I've never heard anyone complain about their partner's new pedicure. Just saying. in a life devoted to being in service to others, it's critically important to make sure you serve yourself as well. There will never be a good time or a good enough reason for you to focus energy on yourself. But you'll do it anyway, because to deny yourself that bit of grace, acceptance, and love means that at some point in the future, probably sooner than you think, you'll be backed up, bitter, jaded, and hold everybody else in judgment for the cycle of negativity your life has become. I've been there, seen that movie, doesn't end well for anybody. Word? All right, want to go deeper? Okay, read You Are the Placebo by Dr. Joe Dispenza, specifically the part about elevated emotion and intention. It'll help reframe how you view your thoughts under pressure. I posted a link to a video produced by HeartMath Institute explaining more about heart-brain coherence and team alignment. This isn't fluff. It's physiological. Presence isn't passive. The chef who learns to reset, regulate, and stabilize a room becomes the one others rise around. And who doesn't want to be in that room? I hope what you're starting to feel is this. It's not about being the loudest or softest voice or the hardest worker. It's about how you show up in your body, in your breath, in your energy, especially when things get out of hand. Calm is not the absence of chaos. Steady state. Calm is a choice. It's a tool and it's a skill. Over time, it becomes a signature, something your team comes to recognize, trust, and rely on. Steady state. Trust doesn't begin with performance, it begins with presence. If your team never knows which version of you they're going to get today, then they can't relax into their work, and they can't relax, they can't perform. That's where we're headed next week. How trust is built, not earned, and how your consistency energetically, emotionally, and relationally becomes the foundation your team stands on. Your challenge for this week is track how your energy flows. Pay attention to who adjusts themselves when you walk into the kitchen, or who avoids eye contact with you. And if something feels off, reset it right then, in that moment. Not to be perfect, but to be present. You're not just running the shift, you're shaping the atmosphere. And that's the calm that builds trust. Your group coaching session prompt this week is, what energy did you bring into the kitchen this week, and how did it impact your team? Come ready to talk about it, because I really want to know. In the next module, we're going to keep stacking. We're bringing your voice back into the room, because when your nervous system is steady, your communication gets clearer and your words start to build trust instead of break it. Bring your truth, because that's where we grow. Until then, stay tall and frosty and lead from your heart.